Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Board of Adjustment meeting for the City of Bettendorf for August 22nd, 2019. Roll call.
Clements?
Here.
Falk?
Here.
Gallagher?
Here.
Springer?
Here.
Tom Burks?
Here.
We got a full house. Everybody's here. The Board of Adjustment is appointed by the mayor. Our function, it's a five-member board. Our function is to review special uses and variances and other matters that properly come before us. Normally, the board has an opportunity to go out and look at the properties involved prior to the meeting, and they are usually in a position then to make a ruling on the matters that come before us. The next item on the agenda is minutes of the July 11th meeting. You've all received those in your packets. Do I have any additions or corrections to the minutes?
No.
Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Hearing none, the minutes are approved. The board has four of my matters coming before it tonight. I would like to take item D first, which is case 19056 at 2285 St. Andrews Circle. It's a variance from the requirement that a religious assembly be located such that it fronts on a collector or arterial thoroughfare, so designated in the comprehensive plan. It's submitted by Shabbat Lubowitz, of the Quad Cities. John, in your staff report, I note that you indicated that a traffic survey or traffic study was going to be done, and I don't believe it's been presented to us. Can you update us on that situation?
I cannot at this time give you any numbers. That report has not been completed. Yes, Mr. Chairman, I can update you. The city engineer and the director of public works has indeed contracted that work with an engineering firm to be done in an expedited manner. The work to do that has not been done yet, so we do not have the numbers. I went up to the office of the city engineer this morning and asked him the status of where that is, and asked if it was even going to be possible to have numbers tonight, and he indicated no, it wouldn't even be possible. So then I also asked, and I gave him the date of our next normally scheduled meeting, and asked him if it could be expedited in such a fashion that we could have those numbers by our next meeting, and he indicated that he would ensure that we'll have those by the next meeting.
Okay. It seems to me that in order to proceed with the issue of a variance, it's important that we know what those counts are, because that's an integral part of the matter. So I'm going to recommend to the board that this matter be deferred. I suspect before I do that, however, I should ask you if the proper publication has been made for notice and if this is properly before us.
It has. Both the initial time, and as you're all aware, it had to be delayed due to a lack of quorum last time. It was not necessary to republish, but we did republish for this meeting. And we also, again, sent out courtesy letters to anyone within 200 feet of any of the properties involved in this. So all the proper notification has gone out. Going back to your question to me initially, yeah, the classifications that is in the Bettendorf transportation plan is broken down as to average daily traffic numbers, which is something you'd have to evaluate before deciding whether it's a local collector, minor arterial, principal arterial. The access is something we could tell you right now, and the width of the right-of-way is something we could tell you right now, but without all three segments of that chart, we would not be able to make a determination this evening as to whether this is a local collector or minor arterial involved.
Okay. It's my understanding, since this matter is properly before us, that if we were to defer it, we don't have to go through the notice process again. Is that
well,
fair?
If it's going to be it, and if you're going to hold a special meeting, that would be true. I can't give you the date that it would be ready before the next meeting. So if it's going to be at the next meeting, we'll just do the notices it, routinely anyway. It'll be published in the paper, and we'll send out the courtesy letters again. It's a routine matter that we do each month.
Okay. So it's up to the board whether they want to proceed or not, but my thought is that it's kind of foolish to proceed when one of the biggest elements is not before us and not available. So I would recommend that we defer this matter till the next meeting. Hopefully we'll have all the facts that we need so that both sides can present their evidence and we won't be speculating as to what numbers do or do not exist.
And if you take that action tomorrow morning, I'll meet with the city engineer and tell him to, again, be sure that this is expedited so it can be here for your next meeting.
Need a motion for
is that
this?
A motion or
I don't think I make motions, but you guys can make a motion if you so choose.
I'd so moved.
I'll second that.
Okay, any discussion? Is everybody okay with that? Mm-hmm. Okay, all those in favor, let's have a roll call vote, I suppose.
Clements?
Yes.
Hawk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Springer?
Yes.
Tombergs?
Yes.
Thank you. Sorry that we had to do it that way, but it seems kind of foolish to proceed with a hearing when we really don't have one of the most important facts before us. So, thank you all for coming. The next item on the agenda is under 4A.
Do you want to tell them when the next meeting
is? Oh, yeah, maybe we should tell you. The next scheduled meeting is the second? When is it?
I'll get it for you exactly before okay. The folks leave here this evening.
12th.
It will be Thursday, September 12 at 5 o'clock in this very room.
Okay, so Thursday, September 12, hopefully we'll have the rest of the facts and we can present. You will have an opportunity to be heard at that time.
Yes, sir.
Okay, then we'll move back to the number 4A, which is case 19050. 5762 Danielle Drive. It's an PR3 district. It's a variance to allow a 6-foot high fence.
He loves to sit there and watch.
Chance to leave. Okay. Again, it's a variance to allow a 6-foot high fence in the required front yard submitted by Damian Brunt. And this was deferred from the July 11th meeting, I guess. So, staff report, please.
Mr. Chairman, with your permission, if I could take cases 19050 and 19051 as a single presentation. They're adjoining properties. Actually, it's a joint request,
okay.
If that would be
that makes
proper.
Sense. And the do we have publication and
yes, notice? Correct. Publications have been received and proof of affidavit.
Okay.
5762 Danielle is the property that's being displayed before you currently. The request is for a 6-foot high fence along the rear property line. The location of the fence on this graphic would be the red line. These are the two houses in cases 050 and 051. The north house is the one that we were referring to in 050. The house to the south, which is on the intersection of Thunder Ridge Road and Devil's Glen Road, again, the red line shows you where the requested 6-foot high fence was. It would only be about half of the rear property line, the northern half. And the reason for that is there's extensive landscaping in the corner of that. I believe there is also a subdivision sign right in the midst of that. And this would just go down to that area. And this is the southern house. You asked staff to research something that one of the applicants brought up, that farther south there was indeed a 6-foot high fence. Adjacent to Devil's Glen Road. That property in question is 5684 Coronado Court. And staff did indeed go back through our records. Somewhere between 2013 and 2014, the fence was erected. It was approved for a 6-foot high fence. However, it was approved at the proper setback. And the contractor did not put the fence as it shows on the application that was received by building inspection. The application shows that the fence is going to go in this area, and the fact that it moved north pushed it closer over. So that's why we were not informed that there was a violation of a fence at that time. I went to the site, made measurements. The nearest portion of the fence to the property line adjacent to Devil's Glen Road is between 11 and 12 feet, and the farthest away the fence is 27 feet plus. So while indeed a portion of that fence is not at the proper setback and not as shown on the application for the building permit, that's what happened, and it was not approved to be in that location. We spoke also last time about fences that are adjacent to property lines like this and having setbacks. Obviously, even the closest portion of this fence does have an 11 to 12 foot setback from the property line adjacent to Devil's Glen Road. The two requests before you this evening are at a zero setback immediately adjacent to the rear property lines, or by ordinance, a front property line adjacent to Devil's Glen Road. I believe that clears up the questions that you had for staff last time, and I think that summarizes the two requests.
Any discussion from the board?
So because nobody investigated or complained or realized it was not in the right place years later, and it's covered by extensive foliage, large trees. I mean, you really barely even see the fence.
I'll be honest with you. I walk by that location all the time. It's very near my neighborhood. That bike recreational trail is something my wife and I use all the time. I never noticed it.
Yeah. I mean, I had to drive by and walk by several times to really see the fence. So, are there examples of what happened in cases like that when the contractor is in error, but it's found out later?
If it's found out soon enough, you know, if we immediately go out and notice something has changed, something didn't get installed as they were supposed to. Fences don't require inspectors to go on site and look at footings. When you're siting a structure, the first thing you do is you have to pour footings, and then after that a foundation. Before they even pour the footing, there's such a thing as a footing inspection, and we measure at that time to make sure it's at the proper setback. Fences aren't an occupied structure. None of that kind of inspection goes on, and that's why it wasn't caught at the time. This many years later, I don't know, that's a discussion we'd have to have at the staff level, what would be the proper way, if there's any way anymore to address that.
But wouldn't you think that the fact that an error, either a mistake or a deliberate deviation on the part of one party, really doesn't establish a precedent for anything we need to follow?
Well, the precedent would be,
the precedent,
this is my opinion,
approved.
The approved permit,
right.
And the approved permit was at the proper setback.
Right. So what's existing wouldn't be a precedent, it's what they approved.
I think we have questions from the audience.
Yeah, I will. Oh, you done? All right. Anybody wish to speak in favor of this application? Yes, sir. Please state your name and then present your statement.
My name is Dan Dolan. I'm the developer of the site. I was in the protest zone, so that's when I became aware of it, and I called Damian. I was confused because obviously you think of that as a backyard, but it's two front yards. So I thought he was trying to put a fence in the front yard, and I said, you can't do that. And then when you look at the site, It is amazing how open it is. I guess we have a campus atmosphere there, so I'm here to ask for your support for their petition to make it to clean up an open issue. I would commit to, there's seven lots on that side, I would commit to doing the same fence going up to there, so that it wouldn't become hodgepodge or anything like that, and that's the breaking point where it goes to a different addition. When you look at the fountains, it's, we have the same color houses, same color brick. Obviously on the other side there's a privacy fence, but it's wood, and I would never encourage anybody to do a wood fence. But I think for security, aesthetics, and the campus feel, I think it's a great idea. It has never occurred to me, so I'd ask for your support, and I'll commit to, at the same time, bringing the fence up to the end of that addition, which is, there's a total of seven lots on that side of the street, and I'll just add it into the cost of the houses that haven't been built yet. But.
And those are all your lots?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I believe there's seven on that side of the street.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is there not already an existing fence?
Yes, there is.
Or, so you're talking about demolishing or removing?
Oh, no. The existing fence stops where this fence would end. The existing fence.
Oh, it only covers the first three lots?
Can I have a pointer or walk up there?
Sure. Please, Dan.
Just point them out, and I can actually do it here for you. Which lots you're talking? How far down does your fence go?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So the fence, that's the existing fence, that property line.
Right here.
Yeah, well, I'll take this off. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nope. One lot up.
One lot up?
Yep.
It goes all the way up.
Okay, so that's.
Well, that's the existing fence.
Yeah. Gwen has this, a picture of it on her phone.
That should actually be here.
Yeah.
So that is,
hey, Dave.
Has a fence to here.
Okay, he's talking.
So what they're asking for, they would like to do theirs. He meant that next seven. In retrospect, I think it's a great idea, so I would continue that same fence up to intersect that other fence. And it's two totally different additions. Those are single family homes, and these are villas that are affiliated through covenant with the fountains.
Right.
So just real quick, why do you think it's a good idea when the 4-foot fence is the rest of the way? I mean, why would a 6-foot fence be that? I'm just saying, because I, you know, obviously a fence is very, I mean, I can see why a fence would be wanted, because it, you're just right there and out, and, but a 4-foot versus a 6-foot, what's the?
It's, I think a sense of space. The berm kind of goes uphill, so right down there, it feels like you're on their patio when you're on the sidewalk. Right. So I think it's that change in elevation as you head north on Devil's Glen. And obviously it's, I think, somewhat of a security issue. If someone's gonna do something nefarious, they gotta take a longer loop around. But I think it adds to the campus feel of what the fountains is. And so that's why I asked you to support it. And I'd be willing to finish it up, and then I'll just add that onto the next houses that aren't yet built. That's when I did it last time. A lot of people put up one lot at a time, and then it's this ongoing. I put the whole sidewalk in on Hopewell and all the fence in just to get it done. And I'd like to do the same thing here with, if you see to approve it.
Were you the developer where the pink is right now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And your recommendation, or your, the 4-foot fence, I'm just trying to figure out why was the 4-foot fence okay there but not the rest of the property? Because you're the same builder.
Right. It was, obviously, the 6-foot fence isn't approved there. We're asking for that on these lots that are with the fountains.
Also, what this doesn't show is a change in elevation. There's a berm, you know, there's a change where the houses are relative to the curb, a little bit further north, but it's very flat itself.
Would you do me a favor and go over to the podium, state your name, and go ahead, because otherwise they won't.
Kevin Dolan.
Yep.
Work with Dan.
We have a very brave person filling in to get the minutes this evening. So.
Just jumping in to point out, to answer your question, there is also a change in elevation, which you can't tell in this photo.
Which is pretty drastic, and that, I think that made the other fence, I think, work pretty well. But here, when you're at the sidewalk level on those lots, you really feel like you're kind of kind of on the patio. That's why we're asking for more privacy. But
so the difference is the elevation, which is the hardship or the change or whatever.
Yeah, to the north there's a berm, to the south there's not.
What's the setback on the fence on those upper lots?
1 foot or
off the bike path?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I believe this fence also continues.
Yeah, it goes all the way up.
All the way there.
Yeah.
So it's.
And even on the other side of the street.
Yes, it does.
Which the 4 foot would have been required on the corner.
All of that, none of his fencing required a variance.
Because it's 4 foot.
Because it's 4 foot.
4 foot.
But if you took the 6 foot all the way up to the corner, would that corner have a site issue then?
Certainly would.
He
was good enough to do that with the fence, to make a vision triangle there. And we still get people not happy with the fence there, but that fence is completely legal, and he put it at an angle when he didn't even have to.
Okay, so, I mean, we've made other variances for a 6 foot fence on a high traffic street numerous times. I mean, I like the idea, Dan, that you're going to take it all the way up to that corner.
I appreciate it.
Angle, I should say. I mean, I would, you know, you'd have to leave the angle at 4, and then just the Devil's Glen side could be 6 foot all the way down.
Well, right? To the existing fence, not demolishing the one that's there.
I'm not saying go all the way up to the corner.
No, right. Keep the angle, on the vision angle that you already have there, right?
No. I'm saying just keep go the up the 7 lots that are affiliated with the fountains.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's basically from there right to there would be the 6 foot.
That would be 4 foot.
That'll remain.
That's already there.
That's there.
And I would take it from that point down because those lots are single family. It's a different feel than the campus feel with the age in place design. That's affiliated with the fountain.
The fence does not go across Dolan Drive, by the way.
We put a gate.
Okay. Anyone else wish to speak in favor of the fence?
My name is Tina Schindler, and my mother owns the property on the corner, which is the one right behind the bushes. That is the reason we bought that property. If there were any way we could put landscaping in there instead of a fence, we would prefer that, but there's not enough room. Anything that would grow in there would essentially make her three-sided patio a cave. There's not enough room in there. Bushes, trees grow, and anything that would be planted in there eventually with a 4 foot fence to provide privacy would eventually have to be removed because it would grow. There were actually two more trees on the Devil's Glen side originally on the property, and Kevin can tell you when they did the foundation for the house, they had to take those evergreens out. We were not happy, but that's how close my mom's property is. The two pictures that were shown there show our properties equally. Actually, theirs is a little back further. Hers is only like 23 to 4. It's less than this far as I am to you guys away from the sidewalk. And I won't even go into some of the things we've had to see while we were sitting out there. So, not often, but enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody wish to speak opposed to it? I don't see anyone. What's the board's pleasure?
Well, I'd just like to say that one of the reasons at the previous meeting that I had concerns with this was the concern over the potential for real lack of continuity going up there. Right. You know, with different colored fences, different height fences, done as you stated, one at a time, and God only knows what's going to happen. So Mr. Dolan has agreed to alleviate that concern. So, and to me, that was the continuity is as important as anything there. And I do agree with the grade change situation and understand why that allowed the 4 foot fence to work up higher. So that, for me, that has alleviated a lot of the pain that went with these applications when we first looked at them.
Okay. Would the fence be, the new 6 foot fence have built be similar to the 4-foot fence? Will it all look the same?
It's the 4-foot fence.
They're different, I know. But,
yeah,
okay.
This would be a privacy fence.
Okay. Okay.
I think the color will match.
Can I speak for a minute?
Certainly.
That's your job.
No, you can take over anytime you want.
Management by committee.
I'm Damian Brunt, 5762 Danielle. I'm the second lot in there.
Sure.
One of the stipulations of the fountains is we can't have a fence in anywhere on our property for mowing purposes. But upon discussion with them before we did all this, we had to get approval from them, and the agreement was that we could put a fence down the back lot as long as it was, and this brings up the other lot there, as long as it was white, privacy, and it matched what was over on the southern division. That's how this all started. Okay. So, yes, it would be white. Yes, it's privacy.
Okay.
So, in the discussion with the fountains getting approval, there's 1 foot that's going to be difficult to maintain on the outside of that fence. Whose responsibility is that? And how will it be maintained? Because it doesn't sound like there's going to be a gate in the privacy fence.
The people that take care of all the lawn service over there, they do all the weed eating and everything, so they'll take care of it. And I do have a question, too, as long as we're here. On the beyond the recreational path, the grass that's out there between the sidewalk and Devil's Glen Road, is that my property to maintain? Or is that the city's
responsibility? Well, there is. I can't answer that for you this evening.
Okay.
There are some areas in town that are adjacent to recreational trails where the Public Works Department has indeed taken on that task. There are other areas where it's just like the sidewalk in front of my house. There's grass between the sidewalk and the curb of the street, and it's not mine, but it's my responsibility to mow it and edge it and seed it. So there are some variations from that. Is this one of the areas that's one of those variations? I don't know.
Okay. I just, and it was a question that has come up because the pins to my lot go right up against, obviously, the recreational trail and stop there. And the people that maintain the lots in the way of the grass service and everything like that, they questioned it. And I said I would bring it up and ask. And
I know that the Public Works Department made an evaluation at the end of last growing season.
Mm-hmm.
And they have divested themselves of many of these areas that they were taking care of before. As the city's growing, they just can't keep up with all of that.
Well, maybe you could get
sure.
John can put you in touch with the right people so
sure.
you can get an answer. Okay?
No problem. That's all I had. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
So, am I correct? He's gotten verbal permission, both of them have, from the fountains. We've just had an offer for continuity's sake to run the rest of it. Has that been run by the folks at the fountains at all, since it's under covenant?
I took their approval, like, to me it would be irrational for them to say, just go this far. So I would hate to slow everything down.
Right.
But
right.
I'm going to put the fence in, I guess, and beg them for forgiveness. I can't imagine they would do that to me.
I'm sorry I put you in the position
No. But I'm willing to do that. Yeah. It just seems irrational. But weirder things have happened.
I'd stop now.
He's very good at working over there.
Yeah.
There would be any problem.
And we're improving their revenue stream, so they should be amenable to it.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
Okay. I will make a motion for case 1905 to approve case number 9. I'm making sure I got the right ones. 19050 at 5762 Danielle Drive and case number 19051 at 5738 Danielle Drive. A motion to approve.
With the extension
of the fence. The allowance of the fence in white, 6 foot high, 1 foot away from the parkway, and extended the additional seven lots by a very generous Mr. Dolan to help facilitate this process.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Any discussion on the motion?
If I could just add one thing.
Yep, a couple things. Yes, Dan.
Sorry to bother you again. She said an additional seven. It's a total of seven. I just
total of seven.
All right. Clear. Correct. Thank you. And John?
As long as that 1 foot off of the parkway is on their property. Usually the property line is 1 foot back, but that's not always a guarantee. They should make sure that it's going to be on their property.
Just one other question. So the 6 foot would actually abut to the 4 foot then, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
There's no gap.
No.
Okay.
Excellent.
So I have a motion and a second. Roll call.
Clemens.
Yes.
Falk.
Yes.
Gallagher.
Yes.
Springer.
Yes.
Tomsberg.
Yes.
Tomsberg, excuse me.
Good. That passes. Thank you all. The next item is case 19055. It's 676.
I have to say thank you.
Oh, thanks, Dan. Well, thank you for taking care of it. Again, case 19055. It's 6776 Champion Drive. It's a C3 special use permit to allow a bar with an outdoor service area submitted by Middle Road and 80 LLC. Do we have an affidavit of publication and notice of publication served?
We do.
Okay. Staff report, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The site is highlighted on the graphic being displayed. It is just west of Championship Drive, and it is part of the overall Betplex subdivision, which you're all very aware of, has grown very quickly up in this area with a lot of ancillary types of businesses going up simultaneously. There will be two buildings that will be built on this highlighted lot. This involves the southern building, which is the yellow rectangle that's displayed, which will be a microbrew. The request is to allow an outdoor service area on the east side of the microbrew. You've approved many previous outdoor service areas up there, and you noted when doing so that that was always the intent of how this was going to develop, that these would be complementary businesses. There would be a lot of foot traffic back and forth between these businesses, and this is just one of those, another piece in that puzzle that's going to make it quite an exciting area. Seems to be a very reasonable request up in this area. There are already two, perhaps three, that are functional at this time, and they all look exactly the same and they work very well up there. So I believe that summarizes the request.
Okay. Any comments from staff? I'm sorry, from the board?
Just a question. I don't recall any, but have we had any time restrictions on outdoor serving?
None of them
did. In this area?
No, and one of them is a bar. One of them is a bar. And another one is a restaurant.
I just want to make sure we didn't need to apply some continuity if we had already done that, and I couldn't remember it.
As you see this, the vast majority of this entire development is C7. There's only two C7s in the community. Directly behind you, the aisle, and this is the other C7. And they're characterized by high interactivity. It talks about that in their definition. It talks about it's expected to be a high activity thing that's going on, and no, you have not put any restriction on hours on any of these.
Okay. Is there anything, I don't know how exactly to put this, but is there anything unusually with this thing, with this particular outdoor service area that makes it different than the others? I mean, are we missing, are we being consistent? That's all I'm worried about, giving everybody the same opportunities.
Right there is where your other ones
okay.
are located.
They're all the same.
They're all in that area there. You're just basically taking that area, and extending it to this.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody wish to speak in favor of it? Kevin? Okay. Anybody opposed? I don't see anybody opposed either. So, what's your pleasure?
I'll make the motion to approve case, where did it go? Case 19-055 at 6776 Championship Drive.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Clemens?
Yes.
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Springer?
Yes.
Tombergs?
Yes. Yes.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you all for coming. I think that's the last on the agenda, so we stand adjourned.